the question I'm asking, I will give them a fiver. And you can bet my students, none of them has ever won my fiver. Because they forget. Or they remember in part. But then when we say, all right, you can bring out your notes and see what you wrote down, then they remember. And, you know, that's one of the things that just struck me this evening. How we forget. You know, the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And what does he say? Psalm 103. Oh, have you forgotten? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And? Okay, let's read it in simple language. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And, you know, at times when we say forget not, that sounds King James-ish. All right? Okay, so let's say it in simple English. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Do not forget all his benefits. Why is that? Because as human beings, let me tell us the truth, we have the tendency to always forget. It is amazing that one of the things we also forget quickly is usually when probably we have just been confronted with some challenges. And God saw us through the challenge. And we just so quickly forget. So just a minute. Because I want to whisper something to your ears. And please don't forget between here and there. You won't forget in Jesus' name. You've got a blessed memory. So, when we fight one battle and God comes through for us, and then we're confronted with another battle, guess what usually happens? We are faced with this present battle, and we usually forget. Okay, I think I've had enough of you. And we usually forget that, wait a minute, we once had some battles in the past, and God saw us through. Somehow we're a little bit scattered. Sorry, I want us to feel like family. Can we move a little bit more to this side and move closer so that we feel everybody's heat? The Bible says when two lie together, they have heat. So they've got to be close to lie together. So can we just move more? Yeah. Can you just move closer to this side? Yeah. You're on the edge. I wonder why people always like sitting on the edge and then sitting at the back, you know. Okay, let's just do that. I want to remind us how easy it is to forget. Now, the psalmist recognized that. Do not forget all his benefits or remember. So I think as believers who are blessed, there's always the tendency for us to actually forget that we are blessed. For example, has it ever happened to you before that you had some, let me use money, because that's a common, you know, a common thing with everybody. You had some money and you put the money somewhere and you forgot where you put it. And now you really need money. But you can't remember where you kept the money. It's not that you don't have the money, but you can't remember. So you forgot where the money was, and now you are in need. The fact is, it's not that you don't have the money. It's not that you're not blessed, but you can forget you are. The psalmist says, do not forget. So what we really need to do ideally is to find some, put some mechanism in place where we will not forget some of the things that God has done, or some of the things God is doing, or some of the things that God said he will do. We have to find a way of always putting it in the front burner. I mean, for example, what I asked us now. I said I gave us an assignment to do something after last week's Bible study. Does anybody remember? And I said, I myself forgot that I told us to do something, not until I listened to the message myself. I said it and I forgot. So who remembers? Sorry? Meditate on Psalm 1. How did you remember? Because of course I said it and everybody heard it, but how many people remembered? Some people probably won't even remember that I said Psalm 1. No, on a very serious note, we're in the presence of God. Okay, tell the truth and let the devil be ashamed. That's what we got taught when we're young. How many of us remember that at the end of last week's Bible study, before he said it, that I said, sorry? I said it in this service. When? Because he mentioned Psalm 1. Oh, you've even quickly forgotten. So what I'm trying to say is this, as funny as this may sound, this is profound. If we forget, then we'll be denying ourselves of God's blessings, and especially when we need it most. Just like the money we put somewhere, and we completely forgot that the money was there. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And do not forget all his benefits. Do not forget. Because it is in our souls that we are troubled. It is in our souls that we have memory. It is in our souls that when a current trial, tribulation, you know, hits, it is in our soul that we forget. God does not forget. And it is in our souls that we retain even the memories we shouldn't retain. Some things that have actually happened in the past, past pain, past hurt, past disappointment. It is in our soul. We store these things there. Please, can you help us tell her not to worry to print the outline? She shouldn't just worry. Tell the two of them to come back so that, you know, we enjoy this study together. Tell them to forget it. We can forget that one. It's not important. What is important is that we find a mechanism, we put a mechanism in place to remind us. And one of the things is, I found out, even from the time of the Bible, was that they recorded things. If you look at the Old Testament, you found some people who are referred to as recorder. Has anyone seen that before? Recorder. They hear and they write. And do you know why you and I today have the Word of God? Because some people didn't forget to write it. And when Jesus came, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law as it is written. And Jesus will always say it is written. So one very good mechanism, time tested, is to write things down. I tell you, write things down. I got a strong urge today, and also to remind some of us that we wrote some things down about this year. We wrote some promises of God down. Please don't forget that this is your husband. Do not forget. Amen. You know, that's one of the things, again, you know, as an aside. I remember the day I got married, and within minutes, I forgot I was married after the ceremony. And I was just going my way, and, you know, they were calling me, "That's your wife. You've left your wife there. You are married. You're married. Go back. Hold your wife. Don't go. You're married." You know, I wanted to start doing my own thing again, you know. We must devise a means. People, I am saying this because this will heal us of so many heartache, distress, especially in moments of tribulation. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget all his benefits. So how do I help myself? How do we help one another so that we do not forget? Write. Record. Remind yourself. Put it somewhere. Put it in the frontlets of your eyes where you can see. Do not forget. Because I'm telling you, this thing called depression is real. Do you know what depression is? Let me just put it simply. Just repeated thoughts. Repetitive. You are just thinking of the same thing over and 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 over. It's just on your mind. It just keeps playing back. One hurt, one pain, something somebody said, something the way you were treated, something, you know, at times you even don't even know why you're not happy. Because you are reminding yourself of pain. But God says, rather remind yourself of the benefits, the promises, the word of God. You know, I felt that very strong in my heart today, that I wrote some things down concerning what God has said about this year, that I should go back and read slowly, slowly. So before I came out now, I just went to the things I wrote down concerning December of 2019. And I was reading and I was wondering, when did I write this? I'd forgotten. But now I'm being reminded because I wrote them down. You see, let us be very serious with our walk with God, especially as this year is rounding up. Because the enemy is very good in reminding us of the things that will not add any value to us. Let me ask you a question. Of what value it is, of what value does it add to you to remember what somebody said to you in January that hurt you? Of what value? I mean, just think about it. Let's be practical. You know, Samuel said something to me in January, and I'm still remembering it in December. And anytime I see Samuel now, I remember what he said in January that pained me. And I'm still in pain. You've only succeeded in keeping yourself in chains. When there are promises of God, when there are things that God has done in the past that I can actually meditate on, that I can choose. So of what benefit are all those things? No benefit. But God's benefits is what I should constantly remind myself. So that when there are wars, when there are challenges, when another battle comes, and that's what David did. Goliath has shown up. He quickly did not sit down to start talking about Goliath and what Goliath could do. He reminded himself of what God did when he killed the lion, when he killed the bear. Goliath was still there when he was reminding himself. It wasn't like Goliath had died. No. So when we're confronted, that's what we should do. I just felt that strong in me to share with us tonight. I know we came for the systematic Bible study, but I'm getting more sensitive now that we should not put God in a box. Yeah, we stopped in verse 2, so next week we're going to start verse 3. There's place for that because there's order. But let's hear what the Spirit of God is trying to say to us. So tonight, is there anything you can remind yourself, or is there any way you can put this mechanism in place and be intentional about it, that from now till the rest of this year, you are going to find a way to remind yourself of God's promises, some things God has done in your life. You know, husband and wife, like I said before, you married. That day was the day, you remember how you went to heaven that day and you were just in the sky. How come you've forgotten now, 10 years after marriage, and now the two of you are fighting? I'd rather just go back 10 years back and stay in the moon. Let's be intentional. Okay, Psalm 1. Let's start from there. We'll still go into what we have tonight. And just some things laid on my heart again for us to see. Are we okay on Facebook Live? Okay, please, those watching on Facebook Live, please do not forget to join us physically next time, if you can. And let me remind somebody watching on Facebook Live, once upon a time, you will never miss this Bible study. Never. For anything. But now you are very comfortable. So you can sit back and enjoy it, because there's no heart's a statement. I'm too blessed to be stressed. You are so blessed. You are so blessed now. No, you don't want any stress. The stress of even leaving the comfort of your house to come for Bible study. You are too blessed to be stressed. Please, don't wait for another stress to come. Because that's one of the things we just forget. We forget God's goodness. We forget vows we make to God. We just forget. We're not reinventing the wheel that the children of Israel invented. It's just there. In the times of plenty and comfort, let me put it, in the time of little, we seek God, we cry, we do everything. But now, in the time of plenty, we completely forget God's benefit. He says, I will bless your bread and your water if you serve me. Please remember, Psalm 1, the picture of a blessed man. This is the picture of a blessed man. And you will see something there, another mechanism the psalmist put in place to remind himself. Psalm 1, is it there? Okay. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Look at that. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Meditation is thinking upon the law of the Lord day and night. That is what he reminds himself of. That's another mechanism. You are meditating. Because if you don't focus your mind on something intentionally, anything can come to your mind to begin to think about. I was having a discussion with someone this week, and I was telling the person that, you know what, I really thank God for something I discovered this year, and that is how to control my thoughts, how to capture a thought and bring the thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, where I have literally, practically learned to choose what I want to think about and do it intentionally. You know what? This is what I want to think about. And you are not going to give me something to think about. And I started seeing the strategy of anything that can make me start thinking about what I shouldn't think about. You know, I'm abrupt now nowadays. I just cut conversations because I know if we continue in this conversation, I'm going to start thinking what I shouldn't be thinking. Capturing every thought, taking every thought into captivity, and bringing it to the obedience in alignment with what God wants. The law of the Lord, that's what I want to think about. That's what a blessed man does. He meditates on that law day and night. Because the world we live in now has a lot of things for you to meditate on that will literally break your heart, literally make you sad. So sad. You know, as you're sitting there, right here now, if you're not careful also, you find out that your mind will just wander away. You're just thinking about something that, you know, that's not happening or something that's happened or something that you're fearing or, you know, let's focus, right? In his law, he meditates day and night, verse 3. So I'm still giving us that homework again. Psalm 1, okay? He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not fail or wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. I was having a discussion also with a student, and I said to this student, look, one of the things that I have discovered is association. If you come into a new place and the people you associate with think in a certain way, or this is what everyone you associate with do, I said to this person that you will realize that it's what your associates tell you that you will begin to do. Let me be practical and real what I was discussing with this person. I said, you come into this country, and then the person confirmed to me. And the first thing they tell you as a student is, oh, look, this is the kind of job that students like you can do. This is what we all are doing in this country. So if you want to prosper here, join us. And I said, one day I had to challenge that, have you ever sat down to pray, to ask your heavenly daddy, that you know what, I want to do a job that will not take away my worship. A job that will not take me away from you. And he said, you know, I shouldn't even say anything any further. He said he repented and he prayed. And God gave him a job that was different from what every other person was doing, because he asked. But by association, you will just flow in the direction everybody's flowing. Because you didn't ask. You don't realize you are blessed. In his law, he meditates day and night. The Bible tells us, I think it's Psalm 37, how God actually grants us the desires of our heart. He said, when you delight in the Lord, you delight in the Lord, you follow what makes God happy. You are thinking the way God thinks, way God wants you to think. You are taking delight in anything that is just God. You are looking for God everywhere, in anything. What's God's will? What's God's heart? What's God saying here? He says, when you delight yourself in God, one of the benefits of it is that he will grant you the desires of your heart. Because now your desires have changed. God's desires are now your desires, and God will grant them. So just like this man, okay, you see, delight yourself also in the Lord. Look at it. And he will give you the desires of your heart. What are the preceding verses? You know, I just look at how we easily forget and we just trouble ourselves for nothing. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. And then verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall grant you the desires of your heart. You know, like the psalmist said somewhere, says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, just overwhelmed, bad news, this news, that, all this, that, and every side. Paul said, even when all these things are happening on every side, right, nothing shall separate us. He says he's persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Let's just hold on. Last week, let me remind us again, it is at the end that God speaks. It is at the end the vision will speak. It is at the end your salvation will come. He that endures till the end. He didn't say that endures. He that endures till the end. And then look at it. The psalmist said, for his mercies endures forever, unending. It is only God's mercies that are unending. So you endure and keep enduring, because the end, surely there's an end. Surely it will end one day. Please tell somebody, it's going to end one day. It will. It will end one day. One day. It's not forever. No matter how terrible, no matter how impossible, one day it will end. I experienced God's mercies last night. I was telling Noah that, yes, this is another testimony, something to talk about. You know, he called me that, you know, he was coming and he's, you know, taking the last train down to, you know, Liverpool. And, you know, which meant I had to go and pick him up, you know, in that cold and, you know, dark time of the night. And of course, you know, the area where we live is not really very nice. Let me just end there. Let me not reveal too many things, you know. And I was now running to go and pick him. I needed to get there quickly, right? So I intentionally, deliberately, was speeding so that I could just get there. I didn't want him to, you know, go out there and be exposed to the elements and to any form of danger whatsoever. Oh, you're saying, don't I have faith? I have faith. Faith without works is dead. So I backed my faith with works. Thank God that, you know, I tell him and, you know, tell my sons, you know, look, I'm your father. So I'm not doing you a favor being your father. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility. So let me just simply do my responsibility. Let me just do my responsibility. You know, if you leave the house, you know, one day, of course, he tried to bribe me one day. He said, he's going to come very, very, very late. Can I come and pick him? I said, I know that's where you're going. He said, Daddy, don't worry. I will look after you when you're old. That's not why I'm doing it. That's not even why I'm doing it. Not that you look after me when I'm old. You know? I wish that even when I'm old, I look after myself. I don't have to burden you. Go and look after your own children the way I taught you. Better than I taught you. Anyway, so I was speeding. I was. I just noticed when I turned up the road to the train station where I was going to pick him, I just noticed a car was following me. I was wondering, okay, no, this guy is going to turn. You know when you are looking, no, he's not following me. As I parked, I just saw blue light. You know those guys you don't like? They tell you they are your friend, but they can be very unfriendly, especially when you break the law. Wow, as I parked and I saw the blue flashing lights. Ah, police. This is police. Immediately, I just told Noah, oh, just enter. Oh, Dad, what have you done? I just came out. Immediately, I didn't even. And here comes two policemen, a man and a woman. And, hello, yeah, we're on patrol around here. I said, hands up, I was speeding. He said, yeah. Did you come to pick your little fella? I said, yes. That's why I was speeding. I didn't want, you know, I just had to really run to get him. I said, wow, okay. Yeah, we're just patrolling here, and we can see you are running for a good cause. I said, yes, hands up, I know. I said, yeah, be careful. And they gave me a good smile. And I smiled back. And I entered the car. You know, and I entered the car. No, I was speeding, they were following me. As I was speeding, they were following me. Measure what? They don't need to look at you. Now I'm sharing this, not that you go out of this service and go and speed. Right? No, that's not where I'm going. Where I'm going was that last night the mercy of God endured upon my life. That's what is known as mercy. You are guilty. You deserve to be punished. But the word of God says his mercies endures forever. That's one of the benefits. And I sat down in the car. I was just thinking. I said, wow, I am blessed. In case I've forgotten, this is the blessings. One of the blessings of God is to experience his mercy. I know what I'm talking about. Dr. Patrick too knows what I'm talking about because I had to consult him when I was caught some few years ago and I was told to go for a driving lesson. And what's that thing? That thing you went for. Why are you looking like Lucozid? Have you forgotten? Speed awareness test. Because I wasn't aware of my speed. I forgot. They caught me. And they said, in the next how many years, don't speed again. So I knew the implication of what happened last night. I experienced the mercies of God. It's one of the benefits. One of the benefits. So we thank God for that. Please, any mechanism you can put in place, you will need it more than anything now as this year is about to end. Because at this time of the year, I don't, but I think I have an understanding, is when the enemy tries to attack our minds the most. This period of the year is the most depressing period of the year. It's when the likes of Dr. Patrick see more patients. Statistics, go and check your stats, sir. True or false? This time of the year, we are Christians. We should not be part of such statistics because we can remind ourselves not to forget God's benefit. Okay, having said all that, I feel empty now. Rather, I feel light. Tonight, we are opening Acts chapter 24. I've tried to do a little calculation. And I realized that we do not have too many Bible study left in this year. One of the things I'm learning this year also is to try to look ahead, see ahead, and plan ahead. It's always good. The Bible says we should commit our plans to the Lord, and He will order our steps. But you have no plan, there's nothing for God to order. So I'm realizing that we roughly have maybe about two more Bible studies, because once we hit the 20th of December, we kind of shut down to seek God's face. Last 12 days of the year starts from the 20th of December. We just want to seek God's face. That is all. For the last 12 days, every single day, to listen to God. To really, really. And I wouldn't lie to you. I personally, I'm talking of myself now, I'm looking forward so much to that season. And I'm so sensitive now that I want to be around those who want to seek God's face at that time also. It's not a public meeting, so to speak. It's a time we just want to come together, as many as want to just pray, seek God and hear God. Okay, so dealing with accusation. I'll read the whole scripture. We only have 6 more minutes. And then next week is communion service. And then after the communion service next week, we only have 2 more Bible study before the retreat starts. And throughout the retreat, we don't have Bible study. We meet every day, like some of us know. So dealing with accusation. Now, there are 2 parts to these verses tonight. There's the first part where they brought accusation before Paul. Prior to now, he was arrested, and they had to take him from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And we saw how God promised him through an angel that they were not going to kill him, nothing will happen to him, that he's still going to testify of the Lord in Rome. But he was in Jerusalem around that time. And then immediately after God spoke to him was when, how many men, don't forget, bound themselves and said they would kill him? Have you forgotten? 40. And you are 40 years old. Don't worry, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. No matter the 40 devils that are militating against you, God will see you through, brother. God will see you through. Many are the afflictions of Ayodeleba Mishile, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. Thus saith the Lord. So they brought him now and sent him to a governor in Caesarea called Felix. Felix. And so they brought him before Felix, the governor, and we see the accusation, and then we see his defense. So I'll just read it, and I pray the Holy Spirit will just speak to us in any way. So when you are dealing with accusation, please let's learn something from Paul. Okay, verse 1, Acts chapter 24 from the New King James Version. Now, after 5 days, just listen. Please listen with all your spirit. So this is the accusation. Listen to the accusation. After 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, seeing that through you, we enjoy great peace and prosperity has been brought to this nation by your foresight. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. For we have found this man, a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world. Look at the exaggeration. And a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple. And we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so. Look at what they called him. What did they call him? A plague. You call a human being a plague. There's a term the King James used. Let's go to the King James. What verse was that? Where it says plague. Please check it quickly. Verse 7. Go to verse 7, King James Version. Okay? Upon us will give violence. You know, another one. Verse from 5. Okay, open your Bible. All right? It's 5. But we have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews. God, the way they described him. Accusation. Okay. And all the Jews that came there said, yes, it is true. All right, so let's hear Paul's defense. From verse 18. No, 10. Okay. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city, nor can they prove the things which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, birth of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation. In the midst of some Jews from Asia, found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Or else, let those who are here themselves say, if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged this day. They called him all sorts of names when he was bringing up his own defense. What do you think was a summary of what Paul was trying to say? When you look at the way he started defending himself. Paul, when you look at it, he didn't disrespect the governor. He addressed the governor in a very respectable manner. Right? They bring you before those who are accusing you and bring you before the judge. And then you go there and start putting up some attitude. You are sinking your own grave slowly. The Bible tells us what Jesus said, that you must respect the ruler of the people. It's there in the Old Testament. Even Jesus, when he corrected himself, he spoke respectably to the governor. And then the next thing he will say, he looked at all the things they accused him of. He addressed every one of them. They found me in the temple. I wasn't causing anything. I was there. They can't prove anything they're accusing me of. But this one thing I'm going to confess to you. What was it that he was confessing? His faith, his belief. And he's simply telling them they are judging me because of my belief. Believe me and believe God, brethren. If people try you because you believe in God, then God, they've turned the battle over to God. You are judging me because I believe God. It's all there through the Old Testament, which is a shadow. Do you want to talk about Daniel, Meshach, Abednego? Why did they throw them? Why did they throw them into the fiery furnace? Because of their belief. And who showed up? The one they believed. The one they believed showed up. Or do you want to talk about Daniel? Why did they throw Daniel into the lion's den? Because of his belief. Brethren, the God we believe will fight for us. The bottom line here, you hold on to God. If you are going to, if anyone is going to judge you, don't let them judge you for wrongdoing. Let them judge you for what you believe. And this transcends every sphere of life. In your office, if they're going to judge you, not that you're not performing, let them judge you because you believe in God. And when they judge us for what we believe, the one we believe and what we believe will fight for us. If you believe in the police, if you believe that's what will deliver you, you know, you will go to the police to come and fight for you. If you believe in a rich man who has money and influence and can hire thugs, when trouble comes, it's the rich man you will go to. And guess who will fight for you? The rich man. Same context. Once our belief is in God, then God will fight. It's what we believe that fights for us. What we believe in fights for us. Every sphere, if in your home, in your marriage, anything, let it be that what we are being accused of is our faith. Not any other thing. Now, he said something in verse, and I want to close with this one. Verse 16. Please bring that verse 16 up. This really ministered to me personally. It says, this being so, I myself always strive to have what? A conscience without offense toward God and all men. A conscience without offense towards God and men. A friend of mine many years ago, I think he was born into a family of another faith and met the Lord Jesus, gave his life, became a Christian and was living life as a Christian. And of course, his family, his dad was not very happy that he was now a Christian, a believer. And then, of course, you know, these things are real. It was like he came under serious attack. I mean, while all his brothers were doing well, it was as if he wasn't doing very well. But the dad was observing and noticing all these things. They were worried. But he held on to that faith and what he believed. And when God finally came through for him, finally, do you know when God finally comes through? It's always at the end. When God finally ended his challenges, do you know what his own father that was the chief persecutor, said something to him I've never forgotten. He said, I am praying for you, my son, that nothing will come between you and that your God. There will be no offense. You won't offend that God that I can see manifesting in your life. Always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God. Look, it is better to fall into the hands of God than to the hands of man. Let us always strive, like Paul said there, that you know what? Nothing is going to take away what we believe. No matter the tribulation, and if there's going to be any accusation, let it be because of our faith. Because God will always fight for us. And we can see that, because if you read this story, it's very long. You know, the real context is, let me jump. If you read the latter verses, chapters, do you know it got to a point where they just left Paul as he was, and the governor ruled, just leave him alone. Release, you know, you can still be in this palace, but let his friends and everybody keep coming to see him. Don't deny him of his liberty. The only thing is, he's just going to be here. He was in that palace for another 2 years. That was where he was writing all those epistles from, most of them, in that kind of captivity. But they were allowing all the disciples and, you know, brethren to come and see him there because of his faith. And that takes us back to the promise the angel gave him. What did the angel say? Nobody's going to harm you. You are going to testify of me in Rome also. And that's what began to happen there. Anything at all, let's always strive to have a pure conscience before God. I don't want to be good. I'm just concerned. I want to be right before God. Amen. Okay. Let's just pray briefly. Anything at all tonight, let's find a way that we will go home and start reminding ourselves. Reminding. What are you going to put in place? I have notebooks which I have to go and pick up now. If you were at the retreat last year, go and pick up those notebooks. Intentionally, you need to remind of yourself of God's benefit. Don't remind yourself of what somebody said. It's of no benefit. Don't remind yourself of disappointments and failures. It's of no benefit. Absolutely no benefit. Remind of yourself of the word of God that will benefit your soul. I am blessed. I am blessed. And I must find out every blessing I've been blessed with. Father, we just thank you. As we go, Holy Spirit, go with us. Holy Spirit, you are the one who teaches us, guides us into all truth. And you are also the one who will bring to our remembrance. So we're asking, Lord, help every one of us to cooperate with you as you remind us of so many things that we might have forgotten. And as you give us the wisdom also to put a mechanism in place to remember the benefits, the word, the law, the promises, the goodness, the past victories, the lions, the bears. So that whatever present Goliath will mean nothing to us. The same manner you will always come through. Father, thank you. And thank you for miracles we are going to begin to see. Thank you for our brethren who are not here today. Thank you for those who have one challenge or the other. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you remind them that you are the God who is still the same. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.